reading to you from 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and with the 2nd verse. And he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And I tell you, this last few weeks, I've been getting so busy. So many people calling me about their nephews or their grandsons are in prison or are alcoholics. And this one man's a wonderful Christian. And he said, Cecil, he said, I'm sure you regretted your past life. I said, yes, sure I did. When I was living in it, it was horrible. But now that I've found Jesus, I'm able to help thousands of people over the years who are hooked on alcohol. Friends, I want you to know, you've heard people say, well, you know, smoking's hard to quit. Yes, it is. But I'll tell you what's even harder, to come to Jesus when you're lost, doomed, and damned. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour. Just kick off your slippers, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me in the Old Testament and a book of Lamentations, and let's begin reading the 3rd chapter and the 18th verse. So I see my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Well, dear friends, I've labeled this, Great is thy faithfulness. And let me tell you, dear friends, this is a sad book. This, if you want some tears, you sit down and you study the book of Lamentations. It's a book of trouble, and it's a book of tears. We can identify with these many times in our own lives. Boy, can I. In this world, the Bible said we have tribulations. But God's faithfulness is demonstrated in times that are tough. He was faithful to Israel in slavery. He was faithful to Daniel in the den of lions. And for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Jeremiah finds hope. God is faithful. Many, many, many years ago when we lived in Linden, Washington, my wife and myself and my 4 children were in our Jeep station wagon, and we were headed home. It was a clear day. The sun was shining. All of a sudden, the front end of that Jeep collapsed. We went end over end down into a ditch of water about 2 feet deep. And when I came to, my head was in the water and my feet was in the steering wheel. My 3 children was in the back bleeding. My son was laying on the bank and he was bleeding, and I could not find my wife. Friends, it was horrible. I jumped out and I hollering for her and hollering for her. All of a sudden, I saw her hands sticking out from underneath the back end of the Jeep. And the Jeep had landed on top of her in this mud. Thank God there was mud there. I tried every way I could to lift that Jeep. Of course, I couldn't do it. But there's four farmers that were there in the field, and they heard the wreck. And they run over, and those four strong farmers lifted that Jeep up, and we pulled my wife out from underneath it. They rushed us to the hospital, and I remember that day as long as I'll live. They found a roofing nail driven into the bone of my leg. My wife had broke her collarbone. My children were all banged up and broke up. And they put my two children in one room and two children in another room and my wife in another room. And I'm running from room to room praying with them and trying to comfort them. And all the time I was worse off than all of them. Anyway, I ended up in the hospital. We were very poor. We didn't have hardly anything. And I mean literally nothing. And there I am in the hospital. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening. They put me in traction. And I remember I noticed the curtains was kind of blowing into the room. It was a cool evening. And I remember laying there and crying. And all of a sudden I started singing, "Great is thy faithfulness." Oh, my dear friends, what a wonderful song in a time of sorrow. Jeremiah found that out, and he cried out, and he said, "Great is thy faithfulness." Now, the Lord is faithful in all conditions. It says in 18 verse, "So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Friends, when everything in this world is going wrong in your life, stop. Just stop. And recall the blessings of the Lord. Recall the day that you bowed your head before him and told him you were sorry that you were a sinner and invited him into your heart. Oh, my dear friends, that alone will pick you up. And how many times God has came to us with help when we were in terrible need. I told you the first 7 years that I preached, we nearly starved to death. Oh, I'm telling you. But you know, God was always faithful. I told you about the time that all we had in the house to eat was a couple pounds of navy white beans. I put an old wilted carrot, an old wilted onion in it, and put it on the stove in a slow cook. Went to bed. Next morning, about 4 o'clock, the Lord woke me up. And I smelled those beans. Well, I was in the Navy for 4 years, and I'll tell you right now, I got awful tired of Navy beans. But I bowed my head and I thanked the Lord for those beans because that's all we were going to have for dinner for Sunday. 7 o'clock, there was a knock on the door. I went to the door and there was a perfect stranger standing there with a Safeway sack with two loaves of bread sticking out the top. And you know what? This man said, "Are you Pastor Cecil Moe?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "The Lord sent me with this." I thanked him, went back in the house, took out the two loaves of bread, and here was a ham and $20 bill. Oh, my friend, God did supply our needs, and I'll never forget that. He's in glory now, enjoying himself. When I was going to Bible college, I came down with a lung tumor, and they gave me up to die. And we went to a pretty good-sized church. A lot of the students went to the Bible college there. And there was a deacon who was honestly poor as poor could be. Every other day, he would put a gallon of milk on our porch and two loaves of bread. Though he himself was very poor. Oh, I will never forget that wonderful deacon. Friends, you know, we think about big things. Oh, I'd like to help so-and-so. I'd like to give them $300 or $400. Listen, sometimes a quart of milk, sometimes a couple loaves of bread is a huge thing. Well, Jeremiah's lament over the downfall of his people, then the chastening of the Lord upon them. Oh, it broke his heart. It broke his heart. He said, I am the man who has been affliction, who has been afflicted. Well, the fall, the captivity. But you know what? No one seemed to care. We can share Jeremiah's tears. Listen, friends, the moral condition of our land today. Homosexuals are being able to come from Mexico over here get asylum because they're mistreated in Mexico. We have men and women in Denver, Colorado, two or three times a year, who will parade down the main drag and said, we are gay and we are proud. You never catch alcoholics parading up and down the street and saying, I'm an alcoholic or I'm proud, or I'm a whoremonger and I'm proud. They're flaunting their sins before God. You say, well, when's God going to do something? Friends, God is going to do something. Did you ever read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? That was because of sexual sin, most of it. And they just would not listen. Well, we have more crimes and drugs and immorality are rampant in our country. And people aren't too concerned. We have the left wingers. Oh, my stars. Anything that's said about Jesus, they get furious. You can't push that down my throat. Listen, friend, I'm not trying to push Jesus down anybody's throat. I'm telling you this, what happened to me. I was a no-good stinking alcoholic for years. I did terrible things, awful things that I'm so ashamed of, but I don't have to worry about them now because they are under the blood of the Lamb. Jesus washed my sins away and cast them into a sea of forgetfulness, never, never, never to be remembered again. But there's a message of triumph in this book of tears. There's a burst of delight in this book of despair. God is faithful, even when things look dark. Friends, God's faithfulness revives his weeping prophet. Oh, friends, listen, I know that many of you can relate to what I'm saying. You've lost a wife, or you lost a husband, or you lost a child, and it just seemed like it was unbearable. But when the time came, the Lord reached his arms of love around you and hugged you and told you he careth for you. Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. See, the Lord is faithful in mercy and in compassion. Verse 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never, never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are now new every morning. That's what the Bible says. Compassions, let me feel as you feel. You know, the Lord understands us. I've had people, you know, I said something the other day kind of silly to my wife, and she said, but God understands. I said, yeah, but I don't. But he does. And not only does he understand, he cares for you. Better still, God feels what we feel. You think for 5 minutes when he decided to send his only begotten Son into the world to die for sinners, a sinless, perfect, yet he became sin. He took your sin. He took my sin upon him. And then he gave up his life. They never took his life. He gave it to them. Why did he do it? Well, let's repeat John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he loves you, he loves me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't have seven sons. He only had one, and he was perfect. But he gave him up so that you and I may have eternal life. Reminds us of the Good Samaritan. Oh, listen. It reminds us of Jesus and the hurting multitude. Note, mercies and compassion. God's mercy and compassion reach to you and me. Tonight you say, Cecil, I am beside myself. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my job. Well, you go to the Lord with it, talk to him about it, ask him for some help. Now, I'm not going to guarantee you that these things, that God will take care of that need. But if he closes one door, beloved, he will open another door. I told you about the time that when I was pastoring in Oregon, I found a house for my wife and kids out in the country with a barn and fruit trees and a garden space and a little creek. It was just about a mile from my church. This was a natural. We should take it. I went down to the bank and told them I would take, I'd be to come out the next day and sign a contract for that bank, for that house. On the way home, my wife said, Cecil, did you pray about that? And here's the stupid statement. I said, why would you pray for a natural? Natural. That was exactly what we are looking for. That's what we want. But that night, I listened to my wife, and I prayed, and I said, oh, God, I want that house so bad. It's close to my church. We don't have to drive so far. The Lord said, no. Next morning, I woke up. My heart was so heavy. My wife turned to me, and she said, well, I said, you're right. We can't take the house. All right. It wasn't a week later. There was a people moved two doors from us, moved in. And this woman walked down to my wife's house, to our house, and said to my wife, do you know where I could get a babysitter for a half a day? And my wife said, she said, we just moved in, and I got to go down and get my lights turned on and stuff. And my wife said, well, I've got children. Bring them here. We'll take care of them. So my wife took care of the children. When the lady come home from downtown, my wife had made some cookies and some iced tea, and they sat and visited, found out this lady had been saved in Texas but never grew a bit. She said, you know, my husband's an alcoholic. And my wife said, well, so was my husband. About a week or two later, about 11 o'clock one night, she came to the house with her two children on her arms, crying, said, he's going to beat me up. I got up and I went to the house, and there he was sitting in a chair drinking a Bud Light. And I sat down beside him and I said, sir, I said, what's the problem? He said, there's no problem. You want a Bud? I said, no, I don't want a Bud. I said, I drank too many of those in my lifetime. What? You don't drink? No, I said, as a matter of fact, I don't. As a matter of fact, I said, I'm a preacher. We said, I know preachers who drink. I said, yeah, I'm priests and rabbis, and yeah, we know all that. But I said, I don't. That night, after about 1 hour of sharing Christ, that guy knelt beside that chair with me, and I introduced him to Jesus Christ. They joined our church. And Friday, I gave him a job working for me. But you see, dear friend, and I don't know how many, I suppose 10 people in that family I was privileged to introduce to Christ because we listened to the Lord and not our own thing. See, he meets us in our sin and sorrow, and I don't care what you're facing. You say, well, Cecil, I don't know what I should go to this college or what I should do this. Well, maybe you're not supposed to go to college at all. I don't know. He does. You know, there wouldn't be half the divorces in this world if people would pray who they're supposed to marry. Now, my wife and I didn't pray because we neither one was Christians. But boy, I'm glad. I'm so glad God gave me my wife. The publican's prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Not the other dude. The other dude was just bragging about what he was and what he could do, and he tithed and he did all this. But the little publican knew that he was a sinner. Do you know that you're a sinner tonight, friends? I'm going to ask you, do you know? Do you really, really know? Well, the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord is faithful to all who place confidence in Him. Verse 24 and 26. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait on Him. It is good that He waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is good. I will hope in Him. To them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him, we can quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Don't wait too long. Don't. Today is the day of salvation. Now, God will meet you and with mercy and compassion right now, this very day. Seek Him. Wait for Him. Hope in Him. Trust in Him. Oh, there's a song that we used to sing. There is trust and obey, for there is no other way. They don't sing that in church anymore because they don't trust the Lord. Legalists obey, but they do not trust. They say, do or die. And we say, trust and live. Which is the best? You tell me. Friends, listen. Tonight is the night of your life. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you feel a tugging at your heart like you have never felt before, I would suggest that God's Holy Spirit is saying to you, child, Cecil's told the truth. I am merciful. I am a loving God. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't care what your sins have been, what you've done. You may be a murderer, a rapist, a child pedophile. I don't know what you've done, some gross, horrible sin. You may be a homosexual or lesbian. You need to get that taken care of or you're going to go to hell, according to my Bible. Alcoholic, come to Jesus. Let Him take care of it. Oh, friends, He's standing tonight with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace. So if you have a tugging at your heart tonight and you feel a need to put your trust in Jesus, and I beg of you, do not pray this unless you mean it. Bow your head to me right now and pray this most powerful prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I'm asking you tonight to come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Listen, I've been doing this for about 40 years on radio, begging for people to put their trust in Jesus. A man told me, I'll never beg a man to trust Jesus. I said, well, if you love Jesus like I do, you will. And I wasn't bragging. Well, friends, if you prayed that, please get on the phone and call me 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. The right. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I hope and pray I said something that would encourage your heart. Listen, friends, no matter how tough things are, God does care. Believe me, He cares. You know, I'm working every day, three or four or five, not six times a day. I'm breathing real hard in a machine trying to get off this oxygen. Oh, I'd love to get off oxygen. Man, it would sure have been a thing around my neck, but God knows about that. And if I work hard, there's a possibility that I can get rid of this. Anyway, you pray that I will. Pray that God will continue to bless our women's work and our work with our grant so that we can get going. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.